Do you have a comment or question for DottoTech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. DottoTech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
As the year 2011 comes to a close, I think it was a little bit better than 2010, but not a lot better. It wasn't a great year in the year of in the annals of great years. What a great opening. Steve Dotto here. I've got Lindsay Smith and Jillian Cheyenne to help me hearken and welcome the new year and to remember the year that was. How are you, ladies?
Good. I think we're more alive than you are.
Getting off high, obviously.
Here's the problem. Too damn much turkey.
I think so.
You're still suffering that.
Tryptophan.
What is it? Was it to sleep, right?
The turkey or the special stuff you put in the coffee?
No, I don't drink much. I'm thinking that's one of my New Year's resolutions is to drink a lot.
Drink more.
Yeah, I got to, because I don't have any bad habits. And you know my fear is if you don't have at least one bad habit, when you hit like 65 and you go to the doctor and if he says, if you don't cut out your bad habits in 6 months, you're dead. If you don't have any bad habits in 6 months, you're dead.
You know,
so you better start smoking.
They're like an insurance policy. That's what I figure. They're an insurance policy. And then we're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions yet or tech resolutions. Maybe we'll talk about that a little later. Let's talk about the year that was and the top stories. And you know what? I think I found a really nice little article from the Mother Nature Network, of all people, who give the top 10 tech stories that I kind of want to go through with you because I think they've done a good job of articulating the top stories, but with one caveat. I think that the top tech story this year is the story that I see happening on the desk in front of me right now. A year ago, if we were doing this show talking about the technology that we'd, the top stories, in front of each of us would be a notebook computer. Right now, the three of us have iPads in front of us. I think this is the year of the iPad. This is the year iPad came in. 2011 was the year iPad came into its own. And has at least for the geek set, it's changed us completely. It's changed how we compute. Do you travel with a notebook anymore?
No, really? Not when I can help it. No, I don't actually travel with a notebook. I occasionally lug it in if I have to take it someplace. But no, I don't travel. I can't carry around that big, heavy notebook.
And how big is your notebook?
Oh, it is about the size of that brick sitting in front of you.
It's a big old PC. Because it's a Vancouver sign.
And it's Army issued.
Yeah. Army issued, yes.
with the extra battery, I have to have an extra person to carry the battery.
Oh,
it's just ridiculous.
Lindsay, what about you? Because you got a little 13-inch MacBook Pro, don't you?
I do, and I still travel with that quite
a bit.
Although I am thinking of trading it in for an Air, because I don't actually need the CD drive or the DVD drive. I just want something that's powerful and really slim. I do, because I travel a lot for business, for me, if it was just from a consumer perspective, absolutely the tablet would be more than enough. But for business, it's
what
just,
about around
it doesn't
town?
Cut it.
Like if you're just going to meetings and stuff, do you take your notebook that you always do?
That's
always take
a good
your notebook?
Point.
Now
I take
my tablet.
I used to take a paper notebook and now I take my tablet.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I used to take a computer in, but now I take the tablet. Yeah.
I don't like going into business meetings with a computer in front of me. I never did because of the fact that when you pop open the screen in front of somebody, I think that it kind of breaks down or it puts up a barrier between you and the other person having a conversation. So,
and they think that you're just checking Facebook.
Maybe when I was
dating,
that was the problem. Is I kept opening my notebook and it never seemed to click.
Oh dear! She probably thought you were checking on Plenty of
Fish. I was looking at her picture, saying, "Is it the same now?"
I have to say though, while we're talking on the topic of tech and going back and going forward and all of that kind of stuff, how do you guys still feel about people being on their smartphones when you're in a meeting or when you're at a dinner table or something
rude.
Like that? Because I always thought it was completely acceptable when we're in kind of an exchange and everything's equal. But I was recently in a situation where I was pitching them for something for my company. And the VP was sitting there for the first 3 minutes of the meeting on his BlackBerry. And it totally threw me off my game. I was like, I have just spent 40 hours preparing for this. And you don't even care that I'm here. It was terrible. Anyway.
I've seen worse than that. I've seen people, I've sat in conferences and watched panelists. And while one panelist is speaking, the other panelists, like they think we can't see under the table, is looking, you know, at the floor with their hand holding their BlackBerry.
It's rude in the extreme.
That's pretty pathetic. And who is, I mean, you know, we're not all president of the U.S., right? Can they live without us for 5 minutes?
The more senior the person in the room, the more they are likely to do it. And it's something that we have to It's almost a political correctness thing that we have to start training people on. Like, we had to learn to stop calling women girls in conversation. The girls in the office. That 20 years ago, that was a thing that you could say. We learned not to say those sorts of things.
I kind of like that.
Okay.
You didn't mind that.
I don't want to grow up.
You're like Peter Pan. You just want to be called the girls forever. So maybe that should be our first resolution. Are we agreed? Is that the first resolution?
Not texting. Well, it's a politeness thing, and we do it socially with our partners too. I was on BC Ferries the other day, and of the people in the restaurant area, in that fine restaurant that is BC Ferries, there was like maybe 14 couples eating. Of the 14, a couple were talking. One couple was playing cards. They weren't eating. They were playing cards. They were like playing crib or something. 9 of the couples had one or the other person on a phone or computer while the other one wasn't, or they were both on. They were sitting at the same table with their, obviously, you know, their brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever. And they were texting or they were browsing the internet on smartphones. And I actually walked up to the people that were playing games and I said, you know, there's an app for that. but just this, you know, and you sit down in a restaurant and you'll see, even in a nice fine dining restaurant, you'll see people doing things online while they're sitting with a person.
See, here's the other side of it, though, is that we're encouraging people to be on social, to check in to different locations, to tweet about what they're doing and be more social. And I get that side of it and I appreciate that side of it, but there's definitely a really gray, blurry line out there right now about when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate, and trying to respect the people around you, but also trying to bring in your social network
creating
from the online
division.
World.
Yes, creating a division and finding the right places to do it. In the middle of a conversation when you're talking to somebody, in the middle of a presentation, in the middle of a business meeting, checking your BlackBerry is not appropriate in any. And I now what I do is if I've got my phone at, well, you know this, Lindsay, if I'm having coffee with you, if I've got my phone out, because I'm expecting something that I have to respond to, I'll apologize before and say, I might have to check this, and I put it down. But for the most part, I leave it in the bag now. I never take my phone out when I'm having coffee with somebody. I leave it in the bag unless, I mean, there is the odd time when you're on deadline, when there's something that you're going to know you're going to, or you're waiting for a call from your kid that you have to pick up. There's something that you have to, you're going to have to respond to. And then I apologize because it makes me think about it. It makes me think about it in that discipline. I think that's important. It's interesting because the number one thing is the social media revolution. That was the number one point of the year. And this is all part and parcel of this increased engagement. How deep are you in the pool now with social media?
Well, you know, I'm on social media a lot. But I do think, I often think about that are we so immersed in our virtual lives that we're ignoring the people around us? Mm-hmm. And I think there is a real danger. I have gone on a digital detox on occasion, and it's actually quite surprising. You should try it because you do find that, I mean, do you ever find yourself talking to your kids or talking to, you know, your partner or whoever, and you're actually not listening to them? You kind of you've got your iPhone in front of you and you have one eye on the iPhone and you're pretending to listen, but you're actually watching what's going on the screen. And I think in a way we're making a disconnect with our real life relationships, and that's something I don't think we want to do.
It's worth thinking about, because really, is the person that you're tweeting to more important to you than the person that you're sitting next to?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're tweeting a revolution, maybe if you're tweeting a revolution, I say go for it. But
aren't we all tweeting away our little revolutions?
social media revolution is number one on the list. Number two on this list is the death of Steve Jobs. Mm. And I thought that might be the top story for the year. And for a lot of people, I think it is. But now we're 2.5 months out from his passing. Any your thoughts on that?
Well, everybody got the book for Christmas, so
yeah they're all going to read it.
Everybody got the book,
and they're going to realize that he wasn't that great a guy.
Yeah. Oh, geez, Steve, he didn't seem like a brilliant guy, but not very nice. That's the only, you know, everybody after Christmas is, you know, come to that conclusion if they got it under the tree. But where goes Apple is the big next question, because, you know, moving on forward, how is the company going to fare in the long term without the man who actually created it
and
made it successful.
And how much more gas was in Steve's tank anyways as far as real creativity and leadership? I mean, lightning can only strike so many times.
Well, they've got that huge under wraps right now, the whole revolution of the TV. Like, they're coming out with an entirely new version of the TV. I'm sure we've all heard about it. But for those listeners who haven't, it's this concept that you're no longer just tuning into your TV. It's like a giant iPad, and it has everything from motion sensors to know who's walking in the room in order to play the specific apps. It has the Siri voice activation on it. Like, we don't know this for sure. It's all still rumor, but we can pretty much see the direction that Apple is going in. And I, for one, am very excited to see that. I know it's going to be a few years out from the time it comes to be, but I think we're definitely moving away from wanting to just go to turn on a television set and scroll through the channels. Like, even the cable providers right now with the interface, the digital interfaces they're giving us, they're still so clunky compared to what we're used to on our smartphones and other devices.
They're going to have to respond in some way, because the passive nature of television, I think, is always going to be there. The fact that you do want to sometimes sit down in front of the TV and decompress and disengage, which is where I've always thought that the smart TVs are going to have a challenge, because I don't necessarily want my social apps. I don't necessarily want connectivity while I'm watching TV. I want to watch the Canucks. I don't care if anybody else is watching the game. I want to watch the game, and I just want to relax.
Oh, you see, I think that's where social media is great. Watching a game, I always have my iPad open when I'm watching the Canucks.
Oh, I do.
I feel like I'm in a virtual living room with all my pals watching the Canucks and commenting together.
And I do think it works from that perspective. But there's also the fact that you don't want to expend energy when you're being entertained. Do you want that when you're watching Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Well, some people do.
It depends. Like, one of my sisters. I've got six of them. Oh, so many. But anyway, one of them in her early 20s or mid 20s now. I can totally imagine her sitting around. She's got an iPhone. She's very app savvy, and she's very social. And I can completely see her sitting around and talking about the latest fashion trends, about what's going on when she's watching television shows like that, makeup, hair, fashion. I just think that's going to be a huge opportunity.
So the Apple TV would have just certainly been it might be the one of the last products then that we saw Will Steve's hands all over. So you think it's going to be a success when it launches? You think it's going to be a revolution?
I think it's a transition. I think that it may be a while before people are ready for it, but I'm guessing that people are going to be ready for it. I think it used to be that a geek was somebody who was very technology savvy. We are all technology savvy now, just because the technology is so much easier for us to use and grasp. How many people that would consider themselves Luddites, is that the word?
Yeah.
Have an iPhone and love it.
Exactly.
It's not hard anymore.
Yeah. TV has been one of the last bastions of that was a great equalizer. Everybody watching TV was the same. We all sat and watched TV and were delivered the same information. When we start making it interactive, when we start changing it, it becomes a differentiator in our society, how well we can master that and how well we can use it. It'll be interesting to see with the generational issues, with our parents and those sorts of people, whether or not they can engage in this new television revolution the same way that the more tech-savvy generations do. And if it might be something that actually puts more distance between us than helps us. We're gonna take a quick break. I've got Lindsay Smith. I've got Gillian Shaw. I'm Steve Dotto, and this is Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.